busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train on us feeling near.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. Mark Becker, hey, I'm your host. We got Congressman Mark Pocan here. And this is awesome, and I'm really thrilled that you're here, and I thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, of course. No, glad to be on. Thank you.
Yeah, and so we had Tammy Baldwin in studio, and I think one of the powerful moments from that interview was I asked her to tell the story of January 6th, what happened, and it was really moving. And I'd invite you to do that as well. I'd like to know, you know, your thoughts, because, you know, we're kind of talking about the rise of extremism and all of that, and it's something that is a concern to me. And so, yeah, tell what happened that day.
Sure. You know, it was interesting because there were seven states that they were going to go after our electors or our, you know, election results that day. And yep. One of them was Wisconsin.
Yes.
So Nancy Pelosi, who was the leader at the time, had the Wisconsin Democrats, Ron Kind, Gwen Moore, and myself, going to lead the hour that they would have debated Wisconsin's election results. So we were honestly all in our offices preparing for that. Because it was during COVID, you could only have 10 members per party per house on the floor. Republicans didn't follow the rules, but that was the rules you're supposed to have. So a lot of members were in the gallery watching, but we were back preparing for that floor fight later that day. And we got notice of what happened. We were in lockdown. I was in the seventh floor of Longworth Building, which is the top floor. And we couldn't get out to do anything because they had us, you know, the building locked down and us in our rooms. I actually had another member from another building where they had some problems. They had to evacuate everyone out of Cannon. And then also in my office, Alan Lowenthal, who at the time represented a district in California, Long Beach area. It was, you know, the information I was getting was bluntly from TV. We had a couple of different networks on TVs, and that's where we were hearing and seeing what was happening, because that was the information that we could get. Being on the seventh floor, I could go out the window, and I was on the roof, and I did that, went to the front of the building, and I so wish I would have taken more pictures thinking, and I didn't at the time because it was a lot going on, that, you know, people hadn't seen that angle. Thousands of people on each side of the U.S. Capitol.
Oh, my God.
That were surrounded. In, you know. Yeah. So it was not just, you'd think, like one entrance, but it was literally on both sides of the building. And that was going on. And, you know, we had a lot of horror stories from people who were in the gallery, because when they cleared the floor off, it took another 45 minutes to get people, you know, out of the gallery. And that's when, you know, a lot of things were going on with people trying to break into the floor of the assembly. But for us, it was just getting information from TV, getting lots of contacts from people back home. Are you okay? You know, because they're watching, right. I was watching. And then we were still preparing for if we were going to get back on the floor and they were going to challenge our state, how we would do that. So it was just a lot of chaos that day. And it was only exacerbated by Donald Trump being unwilling to put the law enforcement we needed to help, you know, quell things. Not only did he instigate it to have people come down, but then he also didn't stop the actions once they started.
Well, and then in the debate, he was asked what three times, he was pressed, would you do anything differently or do you regret? I don't know what the question was, but each time he passed it off. And, you know, I saw a news alert, I think it was yesterday. I didn't realize that it's going to be January 6th again when these results are going to be certified. So it's like, oh my God, how do we prevent that from happening again?
Well, one good thing I think is, you know, he's not in office right now. So
right.
You're not trying to pry someone from office. That won't happen. But we also know that he's already saying he's gonna, you know, talking about getting charges removed for people who were charged on January 6th. And you know, he's only gotten worse since he's left president the last 4 years. I mean, his rhetoric is so much more mogified than it was previously that, you know, I think anything could still happen, which is all the more reason I'm just hoping we have, you know, a little bigger, perhaps, victory in a few more states so that you're not at the point where you're having what could go on. Because don't forget, the House of Representatives will still be Republican controlled, even if it is by four seats, because we want to have placed, I think. Well, I'm not sure if new members will be in that point or not. I would really have to get more information. But a lot of members, don't forget how many voted then against those states that they voted against that day. So, you know, it still should be something of concern.
Yeah, and I have said this multiple times that he was a bumbling fool that made a lot of mistakes. He's still a bumbling fool, but now he's going to kind of, you know, sharpen that sword and not make those mistakes that he did last time. So it's...
And they're ready on multiple fronts, right? Yep. I mean, Project 2025 that he's mailing in Wisconsin, he has nothing to do with. 140 of his former administration employees, cabinet secretaries, ambassadors, and other appointees wrote Project 2025, right? Clearly, the Heritage Foundation is putting it out there. He's close to the Heritage Foundation. They sponsored the Republican convention. They had a whole day, training day on issues. Right. They are ready for, should they win, to do a lot of stuff that would be very bad and attack people's personal freedoms, have a huge power grab by the executive branch, and you know, really impact this country in ways that I think people don't know.
And I saw something too, you know, yesterday, that the U.S. Postal Service said that there are some issues that they're having with mail-in ballots that, you know, are some serious problems, like taking people out of the voter rolls or whatever. What is that all about? How can we, what do we do about that?
I didn't see their exact statement, but there's a lot of things. I mean, part of the problem is RFK, you know, who also maybe isn't the most stable human being that runs for president, you know, because he got out so late, it was after deadlines that he's on the ballot. And now he's trying to change the rules. But, you know, ballots have to be mailed out in some places already because of early voting. And so this is causing problems, because if the amount of time to vote is changed, that's going to affect everything, including some of the mail processing. So, you know, lots to be concerned about. You know, that doesn't help that, you know, as much as they want to say there's cheating, you know, we know that there's very little in-person cheating that actually occurs. In fact, I got PolitiFacted on this once. I said you're more likely to get struck by lightning than commit in-person voter fraud. And it's true, one of the rare truths they put out there, because it literally is a higher chance to get struck by lightning. And but, you know, they tell you a whole different story.
So what do the next couple months look like for both, you know, the nation and then right here in Wisconsin?
It's a sprint, especially in a place like Wisconsin, right? I mean, I'm going to go around the state and do these Project 2025 town halls like we did in Green Bay last week. I'm doing one in Janesville on Saturday. I'm doing one in La Crosse for a group on Monday. But we're going to get around the state to talk about what this agenda really is, make sure people understand. They don't like what's in it when they know what's in it. But we have to make sure people are very clear on understanding what their roadmap is.
I'll say this right now, too. If you want to do an entire episode on that, I would love to dedicate the entire thing, because I totally agree. People need to know what that is. So if you if we want to do that, 100%.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, okay.
I'd love to. And if you want to take calls, I don't know how you do your program, but, you know, whatever on it, I'd love to, because I think there's so much information we need to get out about it, because it is a huge power grab by the executive branch, by Donald Trump. He wants to fire 50,000 civil servants and put in political appointees to run the government. I mean, this is stuff that is directly out of third world, you know, banana republics that he's trying to do. It's going to surveil pregnancies. It's going to stop the ability for people to get birth control through the mail. It's going to, you know, labor is strongly affected. Get rid of overtime protections and pay. It's going to, the default option for people when you go to Medicare is going to be automatically to put you on a privatized program by default. So Medicare Advantage, and we get all kinds of complaints on that in my office from people who do take privatized Medicare. So there's a lot we could talk about, Mark, and I'd be glad to.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So in Wisconsin, I mean, new poll just came out. It looks good for both our dear friend Tammy Baldwin and also Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. What I'm nervous about is I remember this show playing this way in like 2016, where we're like, oh my gosh, And then, you know, Hillary Clinton at the center in Philadelphia with the glass ceiling that did not break that night.
Yeah.
What? How do we ensure that doesn't happen this time?
I was just going to say, I'm going to put about a 5-foot asterisk on what you said, because it's all within the margin of error.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. So if Kamala Harris in this poll was up 52-48 and Tammy was up 5 points, that's all margin of error. And, yeah. You know, last time when Tammy ran, we know she's an exceptional candidate. But when someone can put $20 million of their own money on top of the Republican money to run a Senate race, it's awful hard.
I mean,
money does unfortunately speak volumes in elections and getting the message out. So, you know, this is a full effort. Politics cannot be a spectator sport for anyone who cares. You've got to do everything you can to knock on doors and make phone calls and talk to your friends and neighbors and be active, because we win when we get voters out. They agree with us on the issues, but if we don't get voters out, that's when we can be in trouble.
So what's the best way for people to do it?
I mean, you know, there's all kinds of groups, mainly, you know, of course, the Democratic Party, WISDEMS, it does a lot of the work themselves, but people just need to, you know, whoever they're backing, even if you're supporting a Republican, I mean, be active, because this is going to be a close election, right? Period. It's important for people to figure out how to work with a campaign or with a party to help get the effort out. And there are plenty of opportunities and plenty of candidates. And I want to especially say the state assembly and state Senate,
you know,
with fair maps for the first time in a lot of years, that also should be on everyone's radar screen, because it's not just the federal races, but it's the state races and even county races that really matter as well.
Yeah. It's so exciting to have like representative democracy in Wisconsin for the first time since 2010. It's very cool. Very cool. So fast forward to February, when hopefully all the dust is settled and the right things happen. How the country is so divided. Extremism is so high. Conspiracy theories abound. How do we get past all of this?
I'll tell you, this is just strictly from my gut on this. And I've done this, you know, for 3 decades now. Is when Donald Trump is out of the picture, I do think the fact that we are such a celebrity-driven society and entertainment, that Celebrity Apprentice made him someone that he never should have been. And we judge him more as an entertainer than as a statesman. And therefore, he's done all these things that have been outside the norms and the moral compass of how we operate. If he's out of the picture, there is no one else like him right now. There's no one else who has that. You know, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton, go down the list. No one else is going to have that kind of gravitas to do this. And I'm hoping that there'll be people in the Republican Party who want to take their party back. And, you know, I'm fine with having differences on opinion, on policy, but at the end of the day, we all got to move the country forward. And that doesn't happen right now with MAGA. So we just have to stop that.
I get nervous that, you know, it will be either a Marjorie Taylor Greene or, you know, someone who has a Trump last name, who's like, oh, we're going to continue the legacy of the, you know what
I mean? I really believe the power of celebrity is something that Donald Trump had and was unique. Yeah. And when he's out of the picture, that will move us forward.
So, because I mean, it's interesting when you have Dick freaking Cheney. It takes someone like that. I wish George W. Bush would do the same thing.
Well, you know, in Green Bay, Reed Ribble was always a good friend, a real conservative, but honorable and wanted to get things done and move the country forward. And, you know, he looks at this election, if you follow his social media, with, you know, some contempt, rightfully so, because he sees what's happening is not in the best interest of the country. And, you know, I think there are good people like him and Tom Petro. In fact, right now, Reed and I are leading this Democracy First effort, just asking every candidate to agree to abide by the election results.
That's great.
And, you know, we're trying to make things work for Wisconsin.
Yeah, Reed's a wonderful guy and a good friend. When I got into politics, he was someone that I got to know really well. And yeah, Reed's great. We got about 10 seconds left. I'm totally serious. Let's set that up with Project 2025.
Yeah,
that would be fantastic. Mark Pocan, Congressman, thank you so much for your time. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
We'll talk
great.
To you when we appreciate set that up. We'll do that.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
Take care.
You got it. We got Rational Revolution. We'll be back after this. Every song that drive a new.